very happy to welcome back once again Rick Barry, who was my basketball idol growing up, one of the best basketball players of all time. And, Rick, it's been 40 years since you guys won it all. I was 10 years old at the time. And sometimes in sports we say, gee, it feels like yesterday. But the Warriors, so many bad years since then, it does feel like a whole 40 years ago. How about you? How long ago does it feel?
Well, for me, it was like it was yesterday because, I mean, I had very obviously positive experience doing that. And I think any time you're involved in something as special as being on a world championship team in any sport or, you know, any type of profession you're in, if you reach the pinnacle, it's always going to be a fond memory for you. And again, it's like it was yesterday. I can remember so many of the things that transpired and, you know, just enjoy reminiscing about it. And now with the Warriors trying for their first title in 40 years, everybody's, you know, coming out of the woodwork and talking about it. And also it's been fun.
I want to make sure everybody checks out Rick's website, by the way, rickberry24.com. We'll talk more about that in a second. But, I mean, the timing is pretty cool. It was just a few months ago that you were at the Coliseum with some of your old teammates, Keith Wilkes and Cliff Ray, and the trophy was there. And I asked you a question at the press conference about Bill King. I mean, the timing is pretty impressive when you're already there walking around with the trophy and hopefully here within seven games they'll be doing it again.
Yeah, hopefully they will have that experience. I'm happy that the fans have an opportunity to be cheering for their team to possibly win another title. They've been so incredibly loyal for so many years, as you mentioned earlier. They've had a long drought. I mean, I know after I went to Houston, they had 13 consecutive years where they didn't even get in the playoffs. They had a couple of little exciting things happen to them, but not very much over a 40-year period of time. But this is a very exciting basketball team, fun team to watch. Curry is incredibly entertaining to watch, had a great season, very deserving to get the MVP award. And there's no question in my mind that if the Warriors play basketball the way they're capable of playing on both ends of the court, and that's an if, because that's why you have to play the games. If they do that, there's no doubt in my mind that they will become champions of the NBA this season, and I think they could do it in five or six games.
Rick, what do you think about the awards? You mentioned MVP. I mean, in baseball, it's well after the World Series, but yet here's Curry winning the MVP. I went to the press conference. It was fun. And the next day, he went out and the team laid an egg, and some people thought maybe they had something to do with it. But are you okay with the timing on those awards, or do you think they should wait till the whole deal's over?
No, because they give an MVP out for the finals. You know, if you make it all the way there, they give another MVP award. Where they screw up in basketball, and they don't do it. They don't screw up in football or in baseball. Is that they have two awards. I mean, they have the MVP of the American League and the National League. Then they have the NFL, I mean, for AFL. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to give one MVP award out when you don't play an equal schedule. The Western Conference plays a different schedule than the Eastern Conference. So why in the world the NBA doesn't have two MVP awards for the Eastern and Western Conferences beyond me? Plus, they can bring in more money. They get another sponsor for it. And it should be deserving. Like last year, it should have been LeBron James and Durant. This year, LeBron again and Steph.
That's a very good point. We're speaking with Rick Barry. And one thing, Warrior fans, and you're right. I mean, if everything goes as it should, I mean, they only lost three times all year in Oakland. And if everything goes to schedule and no one gets hurt, it should work out. But LeBron is one of those guys that can single-handedly take a game over, and you think about what he did in the last series with no Love and basically no Irving. What are some of the things, if you were coaching, if you know you're Steve Kerr, you just have to say, well, look, LeBron's going to get his 30. We got to stop Shumpert and you know Dellavedova and Thompson and players like that. Or do you just say, no, we need to rotate on LeBron. We need to give him a different look defensively, like they did with Harden. How would you go about it?
Well, I mean, you can do a little bit of both, but the bottom line is that LeBron can take over a game maybe if the game's close at the end, but to be close, the rest of the team has to play well. Mm-hmm. I mean, LeBron can't win by himself, and LeBron didn't win the last series by himself because he didn't shoot particularly well. Even in the game where he had 37, 18, and 13, which are amazing numbers, he was 0 for 10 to start with, and if you look at his shooting statistics for the series, it was horrendous, especially from threes. So the other players stepped up and helped get it done. Now, can those players do that again in the finals? That remains to be seen. The Warriors players have shown that their bench can do that for them. I mean, even in the last game against the Rockets, Steph did not have a good shooting game. Clay was coming along, and then he gets hit in the head and gets the concussion. He goes out, and what happens? Harrison Barnes steps up, scores 9 points in less than 2 minutes, and blows the game open to 15 in the fourth, and essentially the game was over. And then, like you pointed out, they also then can do certain things against LeBron and make him work a little bit harder. You can't shut down a great player. But what you do is you try to make him have to beat you with the things that he does that he doesn't do well. And there are some things that LeBron doesn't do as well as he does other things. And that is he doesn't shoot the ball well from outside. So overplay him, force him out, let him catch the ball when he's beyond the three-point range, then back off him and insult him. Say, go ahead and shoot it. I'll give you that shot. You're going to beat me with threes. And then I shade his right hand. And if he's going to drive, you're going to have to drive and try to beat me going to your left. I'm not going to let you go to your right. So there are things that could be done to make it a little bit more difficult. And if LeBron takes 3 to 5 more shots, or even more than that, to get his average, or to score 30-35, you've done a good job on him.
All right, very well said. During Chris Mullin's retirement ceremony a few years ago, and Joe Lacob grabbed the mic, and they just traded Monte Ellis, and the fans rained down boos, and you grabbed the mic, you got Lacob's back, and I'm sure it's vindicating for you now, because I got to admit, Rick, I have my doubts about this guy, but you said this guy's on the right track, you got to believe in him. Is a little bit of vindication now for you, because it turns out you were right?
No, well, I mean, I felt I was right at the time, and it's not vindication. I mean, the bottom line is it was only a few thousand fans who were there, you know, the fools that did that, and because it was such a foolish thing to do, because it took away from Chris Mullin's night. I mean, that was a disservice to Chris. Mm-hmm. They were there to honor Chris, and to take that time to show their displeasure in the new owner, it was foolish. And just, you know, and again, I'm writing for the San Francisco Examiner during the playoffs, and one of the first columns I did when they asked me to do it was my first column. The title of it was, "So what do you think of him now?" That was for Joe Lacob. And because the guy did it, he hired the right people, they made the right decisions, he put his money where his mouth is, they're trying to build a new arena, they're just doing so many good things, and these fans should be just thrilled and be writing letters of thanks to this man for bringing back success to the Warriors franchise, which, you know, I mean, I read another story talking about how what a difference winning makes. Wearing my stuff, I've always been proud to be an NBA player, and especially a Warrior. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, I mean, there were times where, you know, I'd probably wear my NBA stuff as opposed to the Warrior stuff, because everybody would look at me, what are you, crazy? That team sucks. You know, and I'd wear my NBA stuff. Now, I wear my Warrior stuff, and it's incredible. I was just over in Africa on a safari, and I got people responding and talking about it. Wow. And it's a whole different world now for the Golden State Warriors.
Maybe when Brian Winters was the coach, you were wearing your Hall of Fame stuff instead.
Well, there was a lot of coaches that the Warriors had that you didn't want to be wearing your Warrior stuff necessarily. Yeah. I mean, it was horrendous, and but that's a whole other story. But you know, I don't live in the past, and mm-hmm. I'm just so happy for the fans, and I'm happy for Joe and the ownership group, and for the whole organization, the people who work so hard in the office as well, and especially for the players to have this opportunity there, and it's in their grasp. I really believe this, and that it's their championship to win or lose. It's up to them. Because if they play their best and Cleveland plays their best, the Warriors will win.
I agree with you. Just a couple more questions for Rick Barry. Mark Jackson is going to be doing the broadcast once again for network television, and some say it might be a little bit weird. Listen, I'll always give Mark Jackson credit for getting the team to play defense, something I never thought would happen. But Steve Kerr is the guy that has the Warriors passing the ball around and has a much more effective offense. But as Mark Jackson as broadcaster, do you find that awkward? Any thoughts on that?
Well, only Mark can answer that question. I mean, obviously, it's probably got to be, you know, disappointing to him to be in the broadcast booth and seeing a team that he did help become a better basketball team, you know, now playing for a championship. But, you know, that's the way life works sometimes. You get thrown some curveballs, and, you know, he's very fortunate, you know, that he's got a broadcasting job to do it. He made tons of money when he was there with the Warriors and paid off. So I'm not going to be, you know, feeling sorry for him or running any kind of a benefit for him, I can tell you that. You know, and I get tired, actually, of listening to him, and he's one of the guys that does it, too, and so many of the announcers, oh, this is playoff basketball. That comment just drives me up a wall. I really feel that the NBA does a total disservice to the game itself and to the players by allowing the game to become overly physical in the playoffs. I always used to joke with the officials, can I please see the new rule book that we're playing by? We just get done playing 80-something games, and all of a sudden you're allowing guys to do things that they could get arrested if they were doing it out in public on the street, and you're not even calling a personal foul. And that does not, it takes no skill, takes no ability to be able to play that way. So what you're doing is giving an advantage to the less skilled players, and you're forcing the great players to have to elevate their game in the playoffs to be able to deal with all that BS that takes place out there. Watch this next game on Thursday. Watch what happens off the basketball. Don't watch the ball. Watch what's happening off the ball. You watch Steph trying to run through and come off screens, and guys are holding him and bumping him and grabbing him. That's insane. It really and truly is. And that's why you get guys losing their temper, and you have it just drives me nuts. It really does. I disliked it when I was a player. I dislike it even more now watching it because it's just not fair to the game. It's wrong.
Well, I remember you telling me that, and I mentioned the refs swallowing their whistle in the last 2 minutes, and you said, why should they ref it differently then than they did the other 46 minutes?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they don't want to let the players determine the game. I said, well, the players aren't determining the game by how they play. If they commit a foul, it's your responsibility to call the foul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes the guys will drive in and there's contact, and two players go down on the floor and they don't blow the whistle. I'm sorry. It has to be either a charge or a block. You can't just say it's a no call.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. And the moving screens that take place that they don't call, and it's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. And I guess maybe that's why I'm not broadcasting again, because I'd be bringing all this stuff out and pointing it out to the shortcomings that they have and I don't know. It's just, again, a disservice to the game. I just don't like it, and I wish the officials would just call the game the same way. All you ask of an official, call the game the same way from the start of the game to the end of the game, by the rule book.
Well, okay? we know you're writing in the Examiner, Rick. Can you tell us a little bit more about rickberry24.com?
Well, I just have a lot of things on there that I do. My fishing trips, that's my new passion in life, is chance to go with me up to Alaska, to Mexico, other places where I have my trips. You know, my Hall of Fame buddy, Ray Floyd, the golfer, is going with me up to one of those trips up there. Jerry Pate came up last year. It's just a lot of fun. And then there's some other great, unbelievable travel club that's probably the best thing I've ever seen in all the years I've been around, and I use it all the time. And there's a lot of other things. The Ecdio basketball shoe, which is the only shoe that helps prevent ankle sprains, patented technology that I can't believe more players wouldn't wear it, because if I could have avoided one sprain in my life, boy, would I love to have avoided the sprain in 67 when we played the finals against the Sixers. I had to get my ankle shot before the game and at halftime to play, and I averaged 40 points a game in that series, and I was playing on an ankle that was probably about 50% of what it should have been.
Well, once again, a reminder that Rick Berry was one of the all-time greats. Hey, Rick, as always, man, love having you on the show. Love the insights and the passion. And we're both hoping the Warriors can pull this through and get her done. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to be fun to watch. God bless you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you. RickBerry24.com. Check it out.